Well, good morning, and thank you so much for having me here this morning. I'm a bit of a watch crazy guy. I love watches. And so this morning I'm going to ask you, I measure people by the watches they wear. So I want you to do me a favor. Why don't you take your watch and just tell me where it's made? That's if you can read the fine print, but... let's see. Anybody who wants to volunteer where their watch is made? China. Hold up what you've got there. What is that? Oh, that's a watch. Okay. Anybody with those little computers on their arm? You know? Yeah, that's not a watch. That's a laptop with a wristband. Anybody who's got a watch made in America? It says made in the USA. You have one? You got to hold on to that. That's a scarce item. Well, let me tell you a little story here about watches and where they are made. And tells us something about an industry that died out. You see, America manufactured some of the best watches about a century ago. Some of the best names. Fine timepieces were manufactured here in the United States. But you see what happened is the Swiss overtook the United States when it comes to making fine timepieces. And the reason for that is the Swiss kept to this cottage-style industry, where they had a handful of apprentices working alongside a watchmaker. And they learned the art of making watches from a master watchmaker. But here in the United States, we adopted this production line of Henry Ford. And all it was about making watches, and more watches, mass production. And you know what happened? While we made watches, we never made watchmakers. And so there was nobody at some point that could design or make a watch. And I think we can learn something from that when it comes to making disciples. I think there's something to learn. But if you would turn to the Word of God for me, to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. I only started my clock now, so what I told you is not on the clock, okay? My sermon is starting now. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Very familiar passage. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let us ask God to bless our time in the Word. God, speak. Open our minds, open our eyes. Let our hearts be filled with a love and a desire for your word. Speak to us. Amen. You know, when we think of this passage, what word comes to mind? What do we typically call this passage? The Great Commission. Yes. And often for people, the Great Commission, the sum total of the Great Commission, is about reaching the lost. But that is not the sum total of this passage. It's not merely reaching people, it's about teaching people. If you consider the main verb in this passage, and this may not be new to you, but the main verb in this passage is in verse 19, make disciples. That's the main verb. Everything else is subordinate and describes the activity of making disciples. And there are two other verbs, two supportive verbs that determine the activity of disciple making, and that are these two verbs, baptizing them and teaching them. Baptizing and teaching them. This will help us gain clarity as to what we should be doing when we make disciples. And this morning I will focus especially not on reaching people, but on teaching people as we make disciples. Now, firstly, what is a disciple? That's the first thing we need to define. If we want to make disciples, we first need to understand what a disciple is. And for that, I'm going to have you think about the ancient practice of Jewish rabbis during the time of Christ. You see, a disciple was considered, firstly, a follower of someone. And so these students will become followers of a rabbi. Secondly, these disciples were somewhat of apprentices. They were placed in an environment of education and training. And as these apprentices sat at the feet of their rabbis, their thinking was transformed and they became more like their rabbis. And then thirdly, a disciple in ancient times was someone being mentored by a teacher, role modeling, teaching by example. Where the disciple was sitting at the feet of the rabbi, theory met practice. And so these disciples were trained in practical wisdom. They had to apply that which they were taught. And so as they followed in the footsteps of their rabbis, they obeyed the instruction, but they also attempted to imitate their rabbis. And that is where this theme of disciple picks up in Matthew 28. That's what I want you to think about when you think making disciples, someone who is being taught and modeled to not only obey Jesus, but to imitate Jesus. Now, as I focus here on verse 20 for a moment, verse 20 begins with the word teaching them, teaching them. And as one theologian said once, he said, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you is at the heart of disciple making. He says this is the heart of making a disciple is teaching them obedience. And that, by the way, is the title of today's message, teaching them obedience. You see, Dr. Blomberg has said something like this. He says if we reach non-Christians with the gospel and they are not challenged to make a commitment to follow Jesus, we have somewhat stopped short of our goal. But he also says, if we are not willing to faithfully and lovingly nurture those who we have reached with the whole of God's counsel, then we have failed at the Great Commission. So it's one thing to reach people, but then what? Do we teach them? And to help us better understand this teaching them to obey, I'm going to use this outline that goes as follows. Number one, the right environment. Number two, the right education. And number three, the right example. To nurture and to disciple someone, you have to place them in the right environment. You have to give them the right type of education, but you also have to provide the right type of example to them. Let's think about the right environment. There's a lot said nowadays about making disciples outside the church. You go meet somebody at a restaurant or at a movie theater or whatever be the case, and the church seems to play less and less of a role in making disciples. But I would go as far as to say that the church is central to this act of making disciples. The best environment to teach and train somebody to become a follower of Jesus is this very place we are sitting in here today called the church. For one, if you think of what it means to baptize someone, and verse 19 begins with saying, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Does this merely speak of immersing people in a pool of water? Or is it speaking also of immersing someone into the right environment, a nurturing environment? Yes, I would agree to say that baptizing someone is ceremonial and it's sacramental, but it is the first step towards obedience. If you like, you can turn to Acts chapter 2, and I would show you something there. Acts chapter 2 is a wonderful example of how the apostles understood and applied and executed the Great Commission. Here we see the Great Commission in action. Acts 2, verse 38. Peter said to them, after preaching the gospel to them, repent and each one of you be baptized. By the way, those are commands. Those are commands. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 41. And then those who had received his word were baptized. They actually obeyed. And that day, there were added about 3,000 church souls to the church. But verse 42 says basically what happened next. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Those who were baptized, of course, concurred to the command of repenting. Nevertheless, the act of baptism was an act of obedience. But then what followed next is amazing. It says there in verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the teachings of the apostles. See, right off the bat, they're being taught. They're being taught. They have fellowship, they break bread, and they pray together. That sounds a lot like church to me, doesn't it? I can say confidently that the 3,000 mentioned here who came to faith, the very next step was to step into a church. However the church looked in that time, this is basically the birth of the church. Nevertheless, they stepped in to the right environment where they would be trained and taught as they devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles. So in other words, if we want to teach people, teaching them to obey is the heart of making disciples, we got to do it in the right environment. And I'll give you a reason, too, why this is the best environment to make disciples. Now think of this. Do we have any plumbers here this morning? Okay. I hope I don't offend anyone this morning. But any carpenters here this morning? Okay. Well, let's just think of this. I may be wrong here, but certainly if you want to train someone to become a plumber or a carpenter, is a university, a college, or even a trade school the best option? Well, maybe so. But I think there's nothing that trumps teaching an apprentice by working side by side with that person. I always say, of my kids, monkey see, monkey do. Not that I'm saying that you guys are monkeys, but hey, what they say is if you pay peanuts, you get monkeys, right? So nevertheless, working alongside someone who could be a role model to you is probably the best learning for an apprentice. That is what apprenticeship is about. And the best environment for that apprenticeship is the church, because 1 Timothy 3:15 says, the church of the living God is the pillar and support of the truth. The church is the pillar and the support of truth. So once again, I think if we are going to make disciples, we got to think of placing them in the best environment suited for teaching them truth. And that is, of course, the church. Now, of course, making disciples is not just about the right environment. It is about the right education. A disciple must receive the right education, which is the second point I want to make here this morning about teaching them. What I consider very vital is what we are teaching them and how we are teaching them. What is the goal of the teaching? Discipleship or making disciples is about education, but the curriculum is just as important. And what should be the curriculum? The curriculum should be the Word of God. And the goal that we have in mind is what? If you turn back to Matthew 28, I will show you. It says there in verse 20, teaching them. Teaching them. Now just teach them. Just educate them. Or does it say there's a purpose and a goal to the teaching? Is it teaching for the sake of teaching, or is it teaching for a goal? What is the goal? To observe, to obey. In no simpler terms can I put this. The goal is obedience. I don't want to get all fancy on you this morning, but that Greek word observe is synonymous to the word obey. You follow what you are being taught. You actually do it. And so the purpose and the end goal, and mind you, with teaching is for the purpose of cultivating disciples that obey. That obey. A few years ago, my wife decided we need to get a dog. And so we got a dog, and dogs aren't dogs the way that I got to know them in Africa. Here we take them for classes. They go to school. I mean, and get this. This class was called obedience training. I mean, obedience training. Whoever would have thought you could make money out of people by taking someone's pet for obedience training. Well, let me tell you, at the core, my dog is still a wild animal, okay? I should have taken the money and sent the kids to the class, and not the dog. But nevertheless, the goal of the class is so that the dog would obey the master. You can teach a dog new tricks, but if he's not willing to obey you, what does that help? Right? Exactly. So keeping this in mind, we got to think of the type of teaching we are doing. You see, if the goal is we're going to teach the disciples just for the sake of gathering knowledge, teach them all high theology, and it never becomes training and righteousness, what are we doing? Shouldn't what we teach have something to say about let's follow through with obedience? I think of Romans 16:26, where Paul says, The eternal God has been made known to all the nations. That sounds like the Great Commission, leading to the obedience of faith. You see, how often when we make disciples, do we even bring that word obey into the picture? If somebody says to you, what does it mean to be a Christian? We get all fancy. Right? We come, I just feel so free. How about obeying Jesus? Yeah, that's a little rough on the edges, right? But that's the truth. Leading someone to faith is not about faith in faith. It is about a faith that results in salvation and produces obedience. It is a faith that produces salvation and sanctification. We cannot forget that the goal of making a disciple is someone who is going to be put in a process of sanctification so that they become more like their master. And so if we say, oh, successful, I have been in making a disciple because this person believes, that's okay. They must believe, but have they decided to be obedient? Maybe another thing. As one theologian stated this in a very memorable way here, he says, faith and obedience go inextricably together. Only in obedience is there faith, for faith is not emotional or a feeling or an intellectual acceptance of things, but active obedience to a person. I love that. We need to train and teach our disciples to be actively obedient to a person. Obeying the word of God is obeying the person that saved you. Dr. Michael Horton of Westminster Seminary wrote this wonderful book called The Gospel Commission. He actually wrote two books. Now, I would encourage you to read those, but he said the following. He bemoans the fact that there is so much evangelism happening, but people aren't being trained and taught in the Word of God. He's Presbyterian, so he loves the catechisms. But he's got something to say here worth thinking about. He says, in reaching the lost, we may end up losing the reached. You hear what he's saying? We can reach the lost, but when we reach them, we may be losing them because what is their faith being built upon? Is it built upon the solid foundation of the Word of God? And so I consider this. The church is the best place, the best environment to teach. And when we teach, we shouldn't just be teaching for the sake of teaching. We should be teach for the sake of obedience. Paul, in Acts 20, verse 27, said, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Paul was not afraid to teach the Bible back to front. But Paul was also not afraid to go from the classroom into the workshop. It's one thing to study something in theory, it's another thing to do that. And so Paul was a discipler at heart. He was a theologian, but he was a disciple maker at heart. He would witness to people, but he would counsel people. Acts 20, 31, we hear him say, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. We are afraid of that word admonish. It sounds like I'm beating up on you. We would never use that word in just any conversation. But the word admonish here is a very sweet word. It's the Greek word notheto. If you're having lunch with someone, you drop that word and immediately your intelligence just goes up, right? Well, we are busy with nocero at our church. But basically what admonition, biblical admonition means, it's me coming alongside someone and helping them to obey the words of Christ. It's just coming alongside somebody and say, hey, buddy, how can I help you? This is what was taught by Pastor today. How can I help you along in practicing that? Don't you think that is a very loving and kind way of helping people to obey all that Jesus taught? Once again, I think what Paul is saying here, and he should know because he met Christ face to face, but the goal of his instruction was not instruction for the sake of just gaining knowledge. It was for the sake of applying it and implementing it. Now, of course, if we're going to give our disciples the right education, we need to use the right curriculum. And what is the best curriculum to use in making disciples? The Word of God. The Word of God. Use the whole Word of God. The gospel is more than John 3:16. You can begin in Genesis. I think we should begin in Genesis. Now, culture and society, they don't know really where they came from and why they're here. But they also need to know how it's going to end. Right? And everything in between is unveiling the gospel. The whole counsel of God should be the resource we use. Not just the red letters. Listen here. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. That sounds like this is just the red letters in the Bible. There's this movement called the red letter movement. I mean, are we not done with movements? Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you speaks once again of that whole counsel of God. Am I wrong if I say if Christ is God and Scriptures was inspired by God, then all Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training our disciples in righteousness? Amen? And so our goal in teaching is obedient and faithful application of the source, the inspired source, which is the Word of God. So let's recap here. In making disciples, we are to teach them. But we are to teach them in this environment that God created called the local church. But secondly, I think the right type of education is just as important. The type of education that demands obedience and application. But I would also say, in teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, we need the right example. The right examples, probably plural. I think that's my third and final point here this morning I want to make, is the importance of disciples having the right examples to follow. You see, somewhat, we think everything is somewhat outsourced. Right, things are being outsourced. And often we think in the local church we can outsource teaching. Now, of course, there's a lot on the radio and there's a lot on YouTube, and you can do conferences, and all those things are good. But how do you see someone live over a podcast? Again, I don't feel bad for listening to podcasts. I like listening to El Mohler in the mornings. But you know, yeah, I'm just hearing him. I'm not seeing him. And don't you think, when you deal with disciples, apprentices, we've just talked about carpenter. Oh, the plumber left, did he? That happens. I pointed, where's the plumber gone? But nevertheless, if you're a plumber and you happen to go to this church, or a carpenter, learning by example is unbeatable. And once again, if we teach people, we are to teach them not only by preaching the Word of God to them, we got to provide something of a virtual example to them. We got to do something about role modeling and mentorship. And this is not foreign to Scripture. Let me take you to Philippians. Philippians. Where's the best place, by the way, for people to see discipleship in action? Where's the best place for people to go to see Christianity in action? Thank you. Thank you. Church. Again, going back to that environment. Philippians 3, verse 17. Listen to what Paul says. Brethren, join in following my example. Wow. Following my example. What did we say is a disciple at root? He's a follower. He is following someone. And Paul is following Christ, and he's an example. And he says, and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Dear brothers and sisters, can we observe a pattern of obedience around us? If we can see a pattern of obedience, this is a wonderful place to teach them to obey all I have commanded you. Philippians 4, 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You've learned, you've received, you've heard, but you've also been able to see it modeled. What is that old saying? A lot is caught rather than taught. Dear brothers and sisters, the church is a wonderful environment for disciples. It's a wonderful environment for making disciples. But we have to think about this for a moment. We often disciple someone, and then at some point we got to ask this question: when are we going to bring them to church? Right? You probably all have in some way or another a relationship with somebody where you're discipling them, but they're like, I'm not ready to go to church. Right? You know about that. Yeah. But how far can we go without that nurturing environment where they're going to see examples, where they can hear the systematic teaching of God's Word, and now are they going to see how obedience looks like? Again, we teach by example. We teach by example, and that's why the church should be a place of sanctified people and people who are being sanctified at the same time. However, we can often teach negatively. We can teach with a bad example. Think of this. We can teach this doctrine of the sovereignty of God, right? We can teach the doctrine of the sovereignty of God and telling people that in troubled times, God is in control, right? We like saying that. And then we go out of the church and we start complaining. I wanted to say about the telephone company, but we got somebody's working. So I'm going to just stop with my practical examples here. But let's say, you know, something bugs us and we complain. Oh, this or that. What example are we being to a disciple who's like, monkey see, monkey do, right? He's looking. He's looking. And so by the very teaching of our practical living, we're telling people, well, the sovereignty of God is just theory. It's just supposed to be something in a theological handbook. It's not something that we can live by. But this is what Paul says, and I want to close with this reminder of 2 Thessalonians 3:9. He says, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. Wow. The other day I was in Walnut Creek in the mall there. Guess what? There's an auto dealership right in the mall. A Tesla. Have you seen those Teslas, fancy cars, battery operated, whatever? And then I walked in there and they had a model there. And the guy showed me everything, and I'm like, man, I have to get $168,000 because that's the, you know, the guy like, would you want these wheels? I'm like, of course I want these wheels. You know, they don't put the base model on the floor, right? Everything becomes an optional extra, even the wheels. But nevertheless, it's one thing to see something on the page of a book. It's not a different thing. Climbing in that Tesla, you got to climb in that thing and experience it. You're going to make debt to get that thing. It's pretty amazing. Paul says here, but to offer ourselves as a model for you so that you would have an example to follow. Did Paul not say, imitate me as I imitate Christ? And so, dear brothers and sisters, I want to ask you, are you willing and are you prepared to offer yourself as a model to follow? Because that is 101 in making disciples. You see, discipleship we think of as like, oh, I go out to the mall, hand out a few tracts, that's all good. But this is an ongoing process. Are you still in the process of being made a disciple? I am. I'm not done. I have not graduated. And so we ourselves ought to offer ourselves as exemplary models of what? Obeying the words of Christ. And my dear brothers and sisters, where does that begin? Begins here, Sunday morning. When's the time to start applying what we've learned? Now. Okay, now. Let me close with these words of Dr. Robert Mounce. He says there, our goal is to take the gospel to the entire world and see the nations turn to God in a faith that changes conduct. Any other response would be inadequate. Apart from a changed life, there is no real faith. When people from every nation profess Christ and demonstrate their faith by their obedience, it brings forth glory to His name. Wow, I can't restate this in a better way. When there's a transformation taking place because of the faith, bringing forth obedience, it will honor the name of God. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we can, like those watchmakers of a century ago, be making watches and yet never think of making watchmakers. And so we can be busy with disciple making without ever making a single disciple. And for that, we got to keep in the back of our mind that part of the Great Commission that says, teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. I know this church, I can say this confidently, is the right environment to make disciples. I can say this church, you will get, and your disciples will get the right education. But I'm also confident when a young disciple steps here, he's going to see the right examples. And this may seem like a tall order, but you know how the Great Commission ends? Lo, I am with you. Don't ever go out here and think you're going to do this in your own strength. We got to rely on Christ. Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Father God, what a joy to know that we partake in this grand work called making disciples. We make of people those who will in the end follow you, obey you, and imitate you. And so I pray, God, that we will pray, that we will be the right type of example, that we will be a role model to follow. As we follow you, may we say to people, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We love you, Lord, and we know you are with us. Amen.